riding along in my automobile. My baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio. With no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile. I think she's telling the way I feel. So I whispered softly and sincere. She leaned and put something in my ear. Cruising more and driving slow. With no particular place to go.
You're listening to Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archives. You will also find links to my sub-blogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. If you're listening live, add me as a Skype contact, Fakeologist, and call in. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Aberrato.
Already, two in a row. It's April 2nd, 2017. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio Show number 162. And today we are going to have another show featuring EGI, Elite Gender Inversion, or as commonly known on the internet as Transvestigation. And as you know, this is my latest interest right now. My interests vary, of course, in the world of deception.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. I brought Chuck back for one more week on the opening of the show because I got in a little late. It was a warm day here on the North Shores of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the media capital of Canada. I like to think of ourselves as a cross between New York and London. And I didn't get a chance to change the music. I was going to start changing the music every week to keep things interesting, but I didn't have a chance. And anyway, my latest passion is EGI. If you look on fakeologist.com, it's been a pretty busy week. We're talking about drills. We did an audio chat. I'll quickly go down the posts. We found 27 more Pentagon photos from 9/11 that look like they probably were all Photoshopped from 10 or 15 years ago. They don't look too convincing for those that don't believe, like myself and most of the other fakeologists. We got some great feedback from the good listenership. I said last week, I don't know if you're listening unless you send me an email. And really, downloads don't mean much in this world and views and whatnot. But if you send an email to Ima, I-M-A, at fakeologist.com, just drop me a note saying you do listen. That's great. If you want to attach that note to a PayPal donation on the right, that's fantastic as well. But we're not in it for the money, so it's not necessary. But I do like to get emails, and if you're so inclined, I will post them because I like to post positivity now and then. So as I said, the last week we've been experimenting with a new program for chatting called Discord. I'm not sure if it's any better than TeamSpeak or Skype, but we like to try new technology. That's one of the reasons I created a blog in the first place, is so I could play with new technology, have a reason, a purpose. And so far, Discord's been pretty good. Lots of live chatters, and the audio has been pretty good as well, so no complaints, really. I'm having some technical issues with the live stream. For the audio chat, one of the problems is that Discord kicks off anyone that hasn't talked for after 5 hours to free up their servers, which is okay, I get it, but I can't keep the live stream open all the time if it keeps kicking off the streamer. So that's an issue. So I have to figure out how to keep the streamer going. And maybe it won't work because I can't keep the streamer going on my own. So I'm trying to find a way to make Windows keep it online, and that's never fun. So right now, I have TeamSpeak working concurrently on the audio chat, and TeamSpeak's been super quiet as well, so I'm not too worried. whatever is online, you can try and log into. It would only be a problem if you got onto Discord and TeamSpeak at the same time, and then people would be talking over each other, and it would be a mess. So that's the state of the Fakeologist Union when it comes to the audio. And I'm calling this an audio now, Fakeologist Audio, because really in this world we have two types of communication, audio and video. The word radio doesn't really apply anymore to this modern technology, and neither does TV. Both radio and television are both being phased out, and the young generation don't even use them at all, really. Don't touch that dial. Most people wouldn't know what that meant today that are born after 1990 or so, 19, maybe even 2000. So we're just changing the language a bit. So we're going to call this a Fakeologist Audio. It is live streamed usually every Sunday, and I'm trying to be a little more consistent. Even if I only come on for an hour or even a half hour, I'm going to try and be regular. And what will happen, hopefully, is people will come out. If I don't have a guest, then maybe people will just come by and have a chitty-chatty. And this is a pretty good time for me. And I think it's a pretty good time for the Europeans as well, because it isn't too far past midnight, and they can stay up a little later, even though tomorrow is a school day. Okay, I think I've got all the business out of the way. Now, again, my latest focus is a little different. It's a little hard to believe, but, and I'm hoping this isn't a psychological operation either by the military that brings us most of our culture through the intelligence agencies that feed it to them. I'm really hoping it is not an operation to keep us from talking about 9/11 and JFK and all the old chestnuts that keep conspiracy types busy day in and day out. But the main reason I don't think it's a psyop is because there are actual physical points that one can review and see for themselves. Plus, the transgender agenda is being pushed on us like never before in the mainstream media. And we know the mainstream media is our enemy. They're not the friend. And pretty much the alternative media is just another wing of the mainstream media. So really, you can only trust yourself first and maybe a couple of lone voices that are not sponsored by anyone. And maybe sponsored by the listenership, which of course can be suspicious, but you just have to be super careful and realize you're walking through a briar patch of information, and you just have to use your own senses and just try and come to your own conclusion. Yes, we're back to the days of critical thinking where you have to critically think. Do not accept anything anyone says, including the fakeologist. But I promise you, I'm not here to mislead. And you'll just have to take that at keyboard value, face value. And therefore, I think there's something to this EGI. And my guest, Todd, whose pseudonym is Rebooting Christianity, thinks there's something to it. So I'll introduce you and welcome Todd to the Fakeologist broadcast. Welcome, Todd.
Hey, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here, and I'll just let you know that I have been playing all the transgender investigators, transvestigators from YouTube, and of all of them, Mrs. Fakeologist likes your voice and delivery the best.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Normally, she says, turn that off when I'm playing some other unnamed people. She doesn't like the tone, the voice, but she says you have a very calm and soothing and clear delivery.
Yeah, I try to remain as objective as possible. I'm using a checklist of objective criteria. I'm not just going to go say, well, hey, you know, this woman looks like a man, you know, therefore, you know, look at those hands, you know. I try to educate as much as possible. There's like right now, right now the whole transvestigation thing on YouTube is like a little niche or a subculture, and but it's growing fast, and the people that the majority of the people that come to my site and the other transvestigation sites, they're aware of the transgender agenda. They may not know or realize just how deep the rabbit hole goes, but they're aware of it. And when they land at my site, they know they're going to look at a video of me looking at the features of a Victoria's Secret supermodel and raising the possibility that this might not actually be a female, might actually be a male. And what I'm seeing is I'm getting more mainstream people coming to my site. I can't speak for any of the other transvestigators, but I'm seeing more mainstream type people coming there. And what I mean by mainstream is somebody that may have just clicked a link or somebody forwarded something to them. And so they click on there. They may be oblivious to the clandestine transgender agenda, mm-hmm. but they click on there and they watch the video. And their first thought is like, you know, hey, this is BS. This guy's out of his head. But then I go through my checklist. I remain calm and rational, and you know, just go down and point out the differences between male and female skulls and waist to hip ratio and Q angle. And I never knew what a Q angle was. You know, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon or anything, but you know, it's just interesting. And these mainstream people are walking away, and they're commenting on the post and say, hey, you know, wow, I never knew. And of course, I'm still getting the hey, you're an effing idiot, and you know, stuff like that. Get a life. But it's very few comments that are like that. And I actually thought there'd be a lot more, but so the word's starting to. It's starting to get out there. I don't know if this will, you know, really break mainstream, break wide open, but I'm finding it to be one of those things where it's one of the best tools for awakening people. I mean, yeah. in our lives, we get a lot of wake-up calls, and unfortunately, so many people, they just hit that snooze button and go right back to sleep. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things where you point out physical features of a woman that are shown on a man, or vice versa, and the light bulb goes on. I don't know the whole process in the brain, but the light bulb goes on, and this is one of those things that you cannot unsee what's been seen. Mm-hmm. And now it's just grabbing these people while they're awake, and we're provoking thought. But my goal is to not just provoke thought, but to impart some action and take it from there.
Mm-hmm. How did you, what's your background? How did you get into this? Because I see Rebooting Christianity, I think, religious angle.
Yes. Well, I have a serious disdain for organized religion, and I'll come back to that. Okay. My background is I'm a retired U.S. Naval officer. I'm 48 years old. I'm divorced, no wife, no kids, no mortgage. So I scaled back my lifestyle, and I've been living off my pension, and I'm trying to start a second career as an author. Okay. I'm a veteran of two wars. I was unfortunately in Iraq, Operation Iraqi Freedom, about 10, 11 years ago. Oh, wow. And yeah, before that, I was in Operation Desert Storm. And if you want to count the Cold War and the war on drugs, you know, I've been in a total of four wars. So, you know, I'm a little weary. A little war weary.
Wow.
And I should
say thank you for your service.
Well, thank you for your support. It is greatly appreciated. So,
I feel bad for you guys more than anything, but I know you guys are doing it because that's what you're told to do. You just take orders. So you certainly don't deserve any disdain for what's going on. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I have my own opinions of all these wars and all the stuff, just the overall need to reach our tentacles into all these other sovereign nations business and stuff like that. But a little more of my background is I joined the Navy right out of high school back in 1986. I enlisted. I was a jet engine mechanic. Couple years in the Navy, I decided that I wanted to fly jets and I needed a college degree to do that. So I took my SATs after having been out of high school for a couple years, took my SATs, did really well. I applied for an NROTC scholarship. I got it, was discharged, put in the Navy Reserve. I went to school in Jacksonville, Florida for 4 years. And when I graduated, I got picked up for flight school. And when I went off to Pensacola, I had some problems with my eyesight, so I never got all the way through the program, and I redesignated to surface ships. Did a couple tours on a couple surface ships, and then I finished out my career. Last couple tours were like on staff duty. I was doing like HR stuff, like recruiting and staffing, and then in between, somewhere in the middle, a couple years before retiring, I got tapped on the shoulder and told I was going to Iraq. So, went over and played in the sandbox for 6 months and came back.
Were you inspired by the movie Top Gun by any chance?
I've seen that movie. I haven't watched it in a while, but I've seen that movie at least 200 times.
Oh my gardens. Wow.
Yeah.
That was one of their most powerful recruiting tools of all time for the Air Force, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, and at the time I joined the Navy, I had no idea the Navy even had airplanes or aircraft carriers. I thought it was just the tin can ships and everything. But we actually, I don't know if that's true now, but at the time, the Navy actually had more airplanes than the Air Force.
Right. Well, my grandfather was in the Navy, the United States Navy. He joined voluntarily, so he saw battle in WW2 Pacific Theater.
Wow.
You can look it up, Battle of Leyte Gulf. That was a big one.
It's funny you mention that because my second division officer tour, I was the assistant engineering officer on board the USS Leyte Gulf. They called it America's battle cruiser.
Isn't that something, eh? Yeah, he was a quartermaster. He didn't go too high. I don't really understand the rankings too well. But you look up Leyte Gulf, yeah. So that's him, and it's the Battle of Samar, I believe. And
wow.
Yeah, it's... He was sunk in a Kaiser coffin.
Wow.
And 48 hours in the sea, or in the ocean, waiting to be rescued. That was, we didn't go over the whole story too many times, but I met some of his fellow naval officers, and I even met one guy for sure that he saved from just going under. That's when you're bobbing along in the ocean, that's the hardest part, is just staying above the water.
Oh yeah, because after a while, you just get waterlogged and
tired.
You wouldn't think you get dehydrated, but
the ocean dehydrates. Did. Yeah, it sucks all the water out of you, so you don't have much time. 48 hours is about the limit, so he pretty much lost all his teeth, I guess, because of it.
Mm.
Just dehydrates you. So yeah, it's. I have a lot of respect for veterans because, again, they're just taking orders and they're real victims in wars as well, I think.
Yeah. I think we all get lured in by the whole patriotism thing. And looking back now, you see movies like Top Gun, and that was at the height of the Cold War. So, that's what I call war porn, kind of like American Sniper would be in the contemporary age here, contemporary years. It's kind of funny that movie comes out and right about the time that things are heating up with ISIS, in Iraq, so I found that the timing to be just very convenient,
Yeah, it always is. Yeah, so again, that's a great background you've got there, and I hope, if you never did another job, I think all people that put themselves in harm's way just deserve to live out a nice other half of their life on a military pension, whatever that is. So I just think that you guys are above and beyond the average person.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I really do. But anyway, so how many people in the Navy are looking into this whole transvestigation? So how did you get caught up in this? Because this, you probably can't tell too many of your close friends that this is what you've been spending lots of time doing.
Well, I've told my parents, and I'm not sure that they're convinced, but they didn't come right out and say, oh, you're crazy, this, that, and the other, because they know me well enough. They know that they know I'm a logical, rational guy, and that I think things through. And I'm not the type to, just fly off the handle and do things on a whim. I put a lot of thought into it, and they know that if this is one of those things where, you know, putting myself out to the world like that, you can easily destroy your credibility if you're just way off base. And so it's a well thought out thing, but I'm sure there's not a whole lot of my friends that know about it, because I'm just really getting this up and off the ground, and, you know, just still finding my own groove, my own style, things like that. But how I came into it is really, really interesting. Last year, probably about July or August, I wrote and I self-published a book. I retired from the Navy. I made a conscious decision that I would not immediately jump right back into the rat race in the civilian world. I wanted to take some time off, kind of like a sabbatical, and do some things that I just didn't have time to do, wasn't able to do while I was in the Navy. And one of those things was I wanted to write a book. And what really prompted the book, the desire to write a book, was there were a couple of things in my life. There was a confluence of factors. Chief amongst them were my tour of duty in Iraq. And a couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer. It really got me wondering. I started pondering the deeper things, like, what's it all about and why are things the way they are? And like many people, I sought answers in the Christian church. And in my spiritual development or my spiritual growth, I developed questions. And I went to the church leadership, and I quickly found out that they don't mind questions, but as long as those questions don't challenge the status quo. And that's what I was doing. And they got angry. They even like questioned my faith to be asking such questions. And I thought, you know, if this is so great, why the anger? These are legitimate questions that deserve legitimate answers. So I made the decision to I was going to strike out on my own, and I was going to find out the truth for myself. And if it so happened that what I found out was aligned with what the mainstream Christian church was teaching me, you know, then I'd go back and, you know, seek the fellowship of, my fellow Christians and everything. But if it wasn't, then I was prepared to accept the truth no matter what I found out. So many people in this world are, they become very comfortable with their understanding of the truth, and they get in a comfort zone, and they don't like it when it's challenged, even when it's shown to be demonstrably wrong, because the truth can be so
unsettling. It can be so,
yeah, exactly. And that it would forcibly eject you from your comfort zone onto your knees and force you to change your ways. And some people don't want to do that, and the natural response is to get angry with the messenger. But anyways, getting back to my quest for truth, I started, and I stopped watching TV like back in 2004. So I unplugged from the Matrix a long time ago, but you still have that process of deconstructing and deprogramming yourself from all the lies you've been taught since day one. So I started digging into the original Hebrew and Greek text of the Bible, and I was just shocked that it was so divergent from what I was being taught in the mainstream Christian churches.
Wow.
And there's such a huge gap that I actually felt compelled to, on my own dime and my own time, put my thoughts in a book and, come hell or high water, get that out there to the world, and I originally started writing this book to reach the people closest to me, my parents, my siblings, close friends, and then, just work out from there and take it to the rest of the world. Because you can, your parents love you. They'll give you the time of day. They'll sit down and listen to what you have to say. But
they should.
Yeah. And if it starts to go against their paradigm, their deeply held convictions, they'll just kind of tune you out. But I felt that if I could take something, if I could put my thoughts in something tangible that I could put in their hands, that might get their attention long enough to, actually sit down and read it and think, hey, my son, I didn't even know he was writing a book, and here he comes out, here he is a published author with a professional looking product. I'm going to, instead of watching the football or whatever on TV, Dancing with the Stars.
Older people like Jeopardy.
whatever superfluous crap people like to numb their minds with, they might just turn it off for a little bit and sit there and read. And even if they don't understand it, at least I've got their attention, for a little bit, got them away from the matrix. And therein lies the opportunity. I can't force the horse to drink the water, but I can bring him there, and try to persuade him, hey, put your lips down and take a gulp. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did with the book. And when the book hit the streets, probably about July, August of last year, one of the things about self-publishing is you're kind of on your own for marketing it. And the company that I went with, they were absolutely fabulous. They put out a great product. The website pretty much walks you through the whole process. And for the stuff that wasn't covered on the website, the staff was just really friendly and they help you. And they give you a few tools to help you market it, but they don't go out there and actively push it for you. So I was on my own. So I got a graduate degree. I have an MBA, so I know a little bit about marketing. And I thought one of the best things to do, or one of the things that I could do, was maybe start a YouTube channel. And my background is, as I mentioned earlier, political science and business. And I thought of getting a YouTube channel and just getting some basic slideshow software and maybe doing commentaries on current events, geopolitics, business, finance, economics, things like that, familiar territory, and kind of, I don't want to say dumb it down, but, try to make it understandable for the average person, and maybe even a little entertaining to get their attention. And then I could, put a link to my website in the description block, or, as my transvestigation slides show, the very last slide is, not a link, but it shows my personal website. So I didn't really know what I was doing, but I, gave it the old college try and got on there, started doing some commentaries. And then I think August of last year, it was kind of like the apex of the whole Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner North Carolina bathroom bill hoopla. Mm-hmm. And I thought about doing a video on the transgender agenda. And And I was aware that Hollywood had a transsexual agenda. I mean, they've been putting men in dresses for decades. I mean, back from my generation, they had Tootsie, which was like 35, 40 years ago. And then even before that, they had Some Like It Hot with Marilyn Monroe and whoever those male co-stars were. Mm-hmm. So, and it probably goes back even further than that. So I thought, you know, if Hollywood is pushing this transsexual agenda so much, is it possible that they've been putting clandestine transsexuals in front of us for years and we didn't even know it? And then I came across Apostle Laura Lee's website, and she did some transvestigations on some major celebrities, male and female, and she actually did the education, you know, show the differences between male and female skulls, hip structure, and I learned about Q angle and all that stuff like that. But it didn't occur to me. So I was aware that it was very possible they were putting clandestine transgenders in front of us, but I didn't realize or even conceive that it would be as pervasive as it is. I thought maybe it would be, I didn't think they would be so brazen to try to put any more than like 3 to 5% out in front of us. So it didn't occur to me to actually start doing transvestigations. I thought, you know, hey, Apostle Laura Lee's covered the ones that are out there. So, I'm aware of it. I know how to discern and everything. But I actually sat down and took my little checklist of things to look for, and I was going to make a video of showing people in Hollywood that were actually like A-listers that were real men or real women. So I sat down and with my checklist, and I picked a name. The first one was Lindsay Lohan, and I thought, okay, you know, she's pretty attractive and everything, but before she got in the hardcore boozing and partying and everything, it's like, okay, she's got to be real. So I sat down with my little checklist there, went down and looked at like dozens or even hundreds of photos. I watched videos on YouTube, things like that. And I actually came to the conclusion that she might actually be a male to female. So I actually did a good number of transvestigations on paper, so to speak, before I even had the guts to go out and do a video and put it out to the world. And if you look on my channel, you can see there's like a gap of a couple months between my Hollywood and the transsexual agenda video and my first transvestigation, which was Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, I'm looking. And by the way, I put a link to your book on today's show notes, Fakeologist 162. It's available on Amazon for all you Amazon fans like myself. And you can even get it in Kindle as well. We don't plug a lot of stuff here, but I'm happy to plug something if it can help you out in any way.
Absolutely.
And so essentially, you just started looking and then you couldn't stop looking. What is on your checklist? Because I think that's really important that when we do present these people, that we try and show evidence of some description. Obviously, the best evidence would be to run up and pull down their pants and take a picture, but that's not going to happen. So we have to rely. Yeah,
even that's not, I'm finding out that even that's not 100% reliable.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll go into that here. Go through my checklist, and then I'll bring up what we were just talking about.
All right.
My checklist is I try to do like you mentioned earlier. I try to remain calm and rational, mm-hmm. and not interject personal opinions and rants and raves and things like that. I try to stay on point as much as possible. And I take a holistic approach to things. And I try to go head to toe and even look at the background, you know, how long they've been in the industry, you know, what business the parents were in, if they were in show business or like high level banking executives, you know, things like that.
Or military. I hate to say it.
Yeah. But. Yep. Exactly. So what I look for is I look at the skull. I look at the shape of the forehead, like John Humanity was saying. You know, the male skull will have a slope. Typically, I use the word typical and typically a lot because, I mean, there are outliers, there are exceptions. And so the male skull will typically have a slope to it. The forehead will slope back beginning from the brow ridge. And the woman's forehead will typically be more vertical coming up from the brow region. And then it'll start to slope back. The men and women will typically, their skulls will typically have differences in the cheekbones, with the men's cheekbones typically being higher, wider, and more prominent. Then I look at the jaw to see if it's sharp and angular, square. Look at the chin, see if it's wide or if it's narrow and pointed. Space between the upper lip and the nose. Look at the ears. Women will typically have smaller ears. If I see a man with tiny ears, I wouldn't say, "Oh, well, that's automatically a woman." It would definitely set off my training radar, and I would. It would prompt a closer look at said celebrity. And I look at facial hair patterns. Typically, I mean, you could take a cantaloupe, and if you pump enough testosterone into it, you could probably grow a beard on it.
That's funny.
But one thing I've been noticing is that these female to males, they can grow facial hair, but it's typically they'll grow a little. It'll end like right along the jawline. They can't grow it up further up the face.
Yeah.
And there are exceptions. I've seen a couple that actually had were able to grow full bushy beards.
At least the evidence were presented. One of the things about my blog is I've decided that all the imagery that we see, we can't really trust it. We just have to take it at face value if we want to use that as evidence. But for the most part, especially with 9/11, all the imagery was presented and it was manufactured and massaged in some way. So I'm not trying to blow your whole investigation methodology, but I just wanted to point out that the stuff that they give us, we have to be careful that it's real.
Oh, absolutely. And I've read about where a couple years ago when Beyonce performed at the Super Bowl halftime show, within hours there were unflattering pictures of her on the internet, and mm-hmm. there was an article saying that her publicist was trying to, you know, scouring the internet, trying to pull those pictures back and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if they, you know, if they're carefully controlling what's out there and if they're going through and scrubbing the internet of stuff that's already out there. But one of the things you find is, you know, you have like Instagram users and people like that, average everyday people who may encounter a celebrity and they take a selfie with these people, mm-hmm. and they're out there sans toupees and hair pieces and makeup and stuff like that. And you catch them in their natural state. Mm-hmm. And so you still got stuff out there like that, that you, if you dig deep enough, you can find it. And,
well, I'd like to see some of those because they must look not so great. Sans their persona, their fake persona that's applied to them in every way.
All right. Yeah.
I'd like to see some of these, but, or their doubles. You know, I still, there's so much deception out there. And from my angle, the transvestigation's fascinating to me because it is a high level deception. Unless they come out and say, okay, I'm a trans. And none of them seem to do that. Now, there's some YouTube stars that appear to be regular people that are illustrating or documenting a trans process, which is fascinating as well. But I'm very concerned that at high level, a lot of these stars are probably duplicates. They have doppelgangers. Maybe the ones that are in public are just doubles. There has to be a lot of that going on with our leaders and with superstars. It just makes sense. It's a security issue as well, of course.
Oh, yeah. And I think there was a movie probably like 93, 94 with Kevin Klein called Dave, where it was a humble accountant making moonlighting as a he closely resembled the president at that time. And he made money from public appearances and everything. And then the real president had a stroke. So they recruited him to come in and fill in from this guy. And then it was kind of the president's handlers behind the scenes were actually running things and pulling the strings, you know, so makes you wonder.
There's another one. I'm going to write that down, Dave. I actually meant to watch it a few years ago and forgot. There's another one with, I believe, Richard Dreyfuss, where he plays a dictator. Exact idea, I think. I think it's called The Dictator. No, Moon Over Parador. Moon Over Parador.
Yeah, I know. I know what movie you're talking about. I only saw parts of it, but
it's worth a look. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I'll link it in the notes. But same idea. Yeah, I'm gonna watch Dave too. Would you recommend it?
It's pretty entertaining.
Okay, I'll link to that in the show notes as well. But so they definitely have doppelgangers out there, so we have to be careful what we're looking at. So I always take everything with a grain of salt, but especially some of the high-level stars. I just wonder, like, I know I saw one of your transvestigations where someone had a really bushy beard. And I'm not sure I could grow one of those. I know I'm a man, but I just don't have the super thick beard that, for instance, my brother does. He's so thick, he needs a butcher knife to shave. He's just super, super thick. I always stand beside him and say, "Geez, you're a real man." You know, if you want to gauge it by how one can grow a super thick beard, and it's actually probably it's more of a pain for him to have to shave than anything. But I think he just trims now. He doesn't bother shaving anymore. It's too much. He has to get down too deep to get it. But anyway. Carry on. I didn't mean to derail you there.
No, it's okay. So in my checklist, I tried to look at as many features as possible. And like you were saying, in real life, there's people that aren't gonna have the features that we typically associate with our particular sex. I know men that can't grow full bushy beards, but I mean they have facial hair, but they have a manly square jaw. Or you know, somebody might, I know men that have narrow sloping shoulders, but you know, they can grow full bushy beard and, you know, they father children and everything like that. So a good chance your average everyday person on the street who may be vaguely aware of the transgender agenda, they're not going to be, you know, a clandestine transgender. But you take people in Hollywood that, knowing that Hollywood has such a an overt transsexual agenda, you know, you look at a celebrity that they're really pushing, you know, it becomes suspect. And I'm not going to come out and say, well, everyone in Hollywood is, but I'm going to say that somebody that they're really pushing is certainly suspect and deserves a look. And you know, I'm sure like a lot of the people they hired to be extras and a lot of the well-known character actors, you know, people that you see in like three or four movies a year, but you never know their name until they die. And like, oh, okay. You know, I know who that is. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw him in, you know, whatever. You know, but
I know we're going through the list, but I want to ask you this before I forget. What do you think the point of all this is? What do you think the point is of, first, let's say, of the clandestine nature of the top holly, helly, weird celebutards, as I call them? Why are they doing this? Because I get this question all the time, and I actually went on a mainstream radio show, and I didn't really get a chance to answer it because they kept cutting me off because it was a comedy show. But why are they doing this? What do you think the reason is?
Well, a lot of reasons, and there's some really good videos out there. John Humanity does a lot of videos on the whys and hows. But there is an occult aspect to it. I mean, so many of these people are into teachings of Crowley, and there's the whole concept of inversion. They want to do things in opposite of what God has ordained for his natural order. They're basically just giving – they want to be their own gods. The Crowley motto is do what thou wilt. You know, you're your own god. Whatever you desire, you know, just go ahead and do it. And they're really just giving a giant middle finger to God and the way things are supposed to be, the natural order of things. Mm-hmm. And one of the points that I make in my book is, and I don't talk about transvestigations or the transgender agenda in my book, because that I got into that stuff after I sent my manuscript to the publisher. But I do talk about how some of the most influential institutions in our lives have been, they've been compromised, and they really go to great lengths to promote behaviors that are actually abominations to God. Mm-hmm. And one of the points that I made is that it's not enough for them to just take our money. There's a nefarious agenda that stretches back. If you go back thousands of years, you find this. I mean, even back in the Sumerian Near Eastern civilizations, they want to they not only want everything you have, they want your money, you know, from the ticket sales and everything, but they want us to degrade and debase ourselves in front of our God. And if we're there lusting over, you know, we think we're admiring a fine specimen of womanhood in a Victoria's Secret model, and, you know, men see a woman prancing around in her undies, you know, and or what they think is a woman, and they start lusting, you know, and these people are they really get off on deceiving mm-hmm. people. And like I said, they don't want to degrade themselves. They want us to degrade ourselves mm-hmm. in front of our God and to willfully disobey our God. And that's without knowing it.
Now the United States is still predominantly a Christian nation. Now, I'm up in Canada, and this is probably, it's a very diverse country, but I think we have slowly gone away from our Judeo-Christian roots. So for me and people around me, because I don't identify with any organized religion. So for the people around me, this whole transgender anti-God agenda, anti-Christian agenda, doesn't really resonate the same way, because there are so many agnostic people around here. So their attitude is, who cares? It's not, oh, you're going against God, because they don't have God or Christian God or even in their hearts and minds all the time. So it's less effective to them. And I've always said that some of the most aware truth seekers are people from a religious or particularly a Christian background, because they're the ones that are most alert to anything that goes against God, and therefore they're the most reactive, and they'll speak out. But what do you say to the non-religious or agnostic areas of the world that receive this information? How does it affect them? How is it bad for them?
Well, for one thing, it's like I said, it's unnatural. They're basically deceiving people. Mm-hmm. And most people, whether you're religious or not, they don't like to be deceived. And then again, some people are very comfortable in their lies, the little world that's been created for them. Mm-hmm. But and kind of expounding on that, you know, whether you're religious or not, you're basically consuming a product that's been artificially constructed for you.
Yeah.
You sit there in front of the TV and they're telling you how you should dress, what to eat and everything. And society as a whole suffers. I mean, mm-hmm. where you get one of these transgender models, whatever celebrity, and they're on there and they're hawking, they're hawking Pepsi and everything. And people who normally wouldn't drink stuff like that, they see some A-list celebrity singer or whatever. And just because that person is hawking it, they feel compelled. They have to go out and drink this stuff, or buy it and drink it. And do we really need people drinking Pepsi just because so-and-so says so, mm-hmm. when there's an obesity epidemic? I don't know how it's like in Canada, but I mean...
Oh, it's bad. It's worldwide.
Yeah, so, and so you're getting... It's bad enough that these people are deceiving people. They're misrepresenting their true sex, but there's a couple agendas at work here, because they're also promoting something that's also bad for you. Like, mm-hmm. getting back to the religious aspect, you have like a transgender celebrity. They're in a movie. And they're promoting gratuitous sex, mm-hmm. Violence, the occult, take your pick. And all this has a detrimental effect upon society. You know, we're all brought down to a more base level.
Mm-hmm. It attacks our subconscious, so we really don't know it's affecting us negatively. That's maybe one aspect as well.
Yes.
Because again, it's the people that are less sensitive to truth, I think, again, that are not religious. They just don't come from that background, and they're just more operating in the world almost without a compass. They're just more laissez-faire to the media. Their main attitude is who cares. I get that all the time, and I brought it up a few times again with the radio show that I went on with, just with comedians, and they say, who cares? How does it affect me? And I tried to get some of the points you mentioned, that, well, if it doesn't affect you, it does affect your children or grandchildren, because they are looking at these in-between people, for lack of a better word, and these are models. We model ourselves after people we look up to or we like, and where the children are modeling themselves after unattainable creatures that are being altered out of, from a Christian perspective, God's image.
Exactly, and that's something you could make a case for to non-religious people. You see, I know a lot of females. I have female friends that have serious body issues, and mm-hmm. you know, they're beautiful women, and they've given birth. I know someone that's had 4 children. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're that's going to take a toll on your body. You're not going to look like a Victoria's Secret supermodel, and they see this presented as the ideal of feminine beauty and womanhood, and think that they have to And they see men lusting after that, and they think that's what men want, and that's what they need to aspire to. So they're they're in the gym, and they're killing themselves, you know, working out and everything, trying to change their body shape when their hip structure is different from that person walking the catwalk, because that person has male hips. They were born with XY chromosomes.
Yeah.
And the reason they're buffed out without an ounce of fat is because, hey, that's a man. They're getting hormone treatments. They can perfectly balance that, you know, to get shredded like that. And they can hire a, you know, personal trainer and a nutritionist and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's an unattainable goal. And even if they don't consciously do it, there are a lot of subconscious things at work. And the whole nature of subconscious is we don't know we're actually receiving messages from our subconscious. So that's where it's even more dangerous, and people don't even recognize that.
Right. And, you know, you brought up the point about, you know, America being predominantly a Christian nation. And, but we're in the paradoxical situation of almost literally having a church on every street corner, yet being in the moral abyss that we find ourselves in. And that's troubling, and that's one of the issues that I dig deep into in my book. And if so, you have the Bible, the inspired word of God, which is supposed to be inerrant, and the only thing it could mean is that what the mainstream Christian churches are teaching is wrong. There's a gap between what the inerrant, inspired word of God says and what's actually being taught. And I address that gap in my book. And it must be pointed out that all this is going on with the complicity of the mainstream Christian church leadership. And I don't mean that as a blanket indictment of all the fine Christians out there that are concerned about what's going on, but there should be some top leadership jumping up and down. I mean, if this is an abomination to God's word, why aren't we hearing voices shouting it from the rooftops? And one of the things I point out is that there's certain words that aren't heard in mainstream Christian churches anymore, like sin, law, repentance, obedience, and, you know, a whole long list of others. And the reason we don't hear those is because we're using the wrong metrics to measure the effectiveness of the church. And we're using metrics like church attendance, salvations / baptisms, donations, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. It's a money thing too, yeah.
When the metric we should be using is, are we preparing people for and equipping them to go out and build the kingdom? And the kingdom is, and God's kingdom is, to a lot of people, because of inerrant doctrine and teaching in the church, God's kingdom is, there's an ethereal concept of what God's kingdom is. And for a lot of people, it's God's kingdom is in heaven. And the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are synonymous terms. They can be used interchangeably. And the kingdom of heaven is of heaven. It's from heaven, but it's not heaven. And our chief charge by our Lord and Savior is to build the kingdom here on earth. And we're just, by using that metric, I mean, take a look around you. It's not being done. So,
it's not
so
happening.
We need to,
well,
right. So
I don't get into a lot of religious topics, but I did have a past guest a couple of years ago, Robin Fisher, who is a great believer that the church has been definitely co-opted by the Jesuit coadjutors that are just inserting all kinds of, I would say usurp. They've usurped the Protestant church just to bring everyone back to the Roman Catholic faith, which him as a Christian doesn't believe at all has anything to do with Christianity. So it's just a whole just a whole war going on against organized religion by Rome that's never left its position as the world dominating religious power.
Oh yeah, and you know, I was reading about Martin Luther and the whole Reformation stuff that it actually kicked off a little bit before, a couple years before him. He just kind of got the ball really snowballing there.
Yeah,
and but I think he was really onto something, but I think it has been co-opted, and I'm just wondering if in our contemporary age, if the whole Roman Church versus Protestant church, if that's just a whole dialectic that's been rolled out for the masses to play with, you know, like a cat with a laser pointer.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
The real truth is actually, you know, something else.
Yes. I agree with that. They do Hegelian dialectics all the time just to keep everyone cornered or in respective camps. Well, the real truth is definitely over here. So they're masters of misdirection, and it could be in religion as well.
Right. And you remember, I'm really dating myself here, even though I stated my age earlier. But back in the 70s, they used to have these commercials for Miller Lite, and they would have retired sports stars and everything. They'd be like in a bar, and they'd be arguing about Miller Lite. You know, you have one camp here, you know, shouting at the other camp, you know, less filling, and the other camp would shout back, tastes great. And, you know, they just, nothing would ever get resolved. And that's like your basic analogy trying to explain like a Hegelian dialectic to your average, you know, mind-numbed TV watcher that's out there. And,
They have the thesis and the antithesis or antithesis, and then they therefore control the synthesis, the bringing of the two together. And they symbolize that all the time in the media. 9/11, of course, in the World Trade Center was a synthesis of Tower 1 and 2. And now what do you have standing there right now? The synthesis.
Yep.
Another potentially empty building full of media and bankers. So whether or not getting over to 9/11, there's actually anyone in that tower. Are they going to destroy that one as well as a massive symbolic gesture? Who knows what the future holds? But yeah, it's I understand. I've posted many times on the Hegelian dialectic. It's sort of fallen out of fashion in the whole blog sphere and YouTube sphere lately, because now we're all working on the transvestigation.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something about the speaking of the Twin Towers.
Yeah,
I read that there was a the commodities exchange or the COMEX had a vault in one of the Twin Towers, and when the towers came down, it basically buried like tons of gold and silver, and after they started digging out, probably like, I don't know, late October, early November of that year, they discovered that stash of gold and silver, and they brought in a bunch of Brinks trucks to whisk it away. I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
Well, I've heard a million stories about what was and what wasn't in the Twin Towers, and my best assessment, and it hasn't really wavered in almost 5 years now, is the towers were empty and made to be destroyed. So all those mini stories, those are what I call mini stories or mini series, mini conspiracies, they're all part of the massive deception that was 9/11. And the Twin Towers were absolutely the most focused upon storyline. But I would say that was probably just another storyline. You know, the idea that all the records were in a building for an investigation into the financial institutions in Building 7. Like, come on. Most businesses have redundancies for their systems all over the place, even small businesses. They're backed up all over the place. So the idea that, you know, NASA loses their the original Apollo tapes because somebody forgot to lock them up or they got put in the basement of a McDonald's. That's just all chewy, syrupy, sweet conspiracy candy. It's just to distract you from the real point that the Twin Towers were probably for the most part empty and they were just props. Now, everyone will say, well, how could that be? Somebody would have known. Well, who would have noticed? I bet you most people haven't even been in an office tower in America or even in Canada. I used to work in office towers, and I would be up and down those big elevators all the time. And they're highly controlled, highly compartmentalized like the military. And only a few people know exactly the operations of even a tall tower. So they don't. People don't even understand how they're built, how they're made up, how the security is maintained. They're very highly controlled areas as well. So again, any of these side stories that we hear, I think are mostly just distractions to take you off, misdirect you from the real point, which is, yes, they actually probably conceived these buildings as props from the beginning. Yes, they cost millions and billions of dollars, but the governors are controllers, the network. They control the money, so this is nothing to them. And if this is part of a massive deception, then that's fine. So, yeah, I just put that down as another story that probably has no basis of truth, because I doubt there was anything in the towers or in the basements. But I don't know where you stand on 9/11, but it is definitely one of the greatest deceptions of all time, of our generation. There's no doubt about it. And the transvestigation is a minor one, in my opinion, compared to 9/11. But as I said on the radio show I went on last week, if nothing else, 9/11 has proven that you can fool the entire world forever. Forever. That will never be disclosed or be believed by enough people to matter. So therefore, I'm always on the lookout for any smaller deception because I know people will believe it. So this transvestigation is in the same category. It's a little more flagrant in the sense that it's ongoing. They constantly roll out new editions of celebrities for people to follow. And if we're talking about in-betweens, which is, I think, a good way to describe these people because they're not really, well, they're born, or as they would say, assigned a sex at birth, but they seem to always be in limbo, or they're always in-between. And therefore, they almost deserve their own sex. They're almost an XYX or something. They almost need a new word to describe them, but even in the mainstream, they're giving new pronouns to those that don't identify, quote-unquote, right? So there's sort of two things going on. There's the mainstream transsexual agenda that we're being told is real, and they're reinventing the language to accommodate these people. And then there's the covert celebrity transgender, which is not being disclosed. And I believe this is the elite of the elite transsexual that is so hard to detect that people won't even believe it. It's like 9/11. They just will not believe it.
Yeah.
So I said a lot there. Yeah.
Yeah, and as I go along here, and I'm sure I'll talk with friends and other family members who are, you know, going to be very skeptical at the least. One of the things that I'll roll out is that, okay, it's easily demonstrable that there is out there a transsexual agenda in the in the general public. Yeah. There is one that Hollywood is pushing. If they're pushing this so hard, is it really that hard to believe that Hollywood itself wouldn't put, you know, at least a couple out there? And once I get the gears turning in their minds, then, you know, then I can come in and say, hey, look at this, you know, and you know, look at this female, look at those cheekbones and that huge jaw. Okay, that's more typical of a male skull. And you know, and then the gears start turning a little faster. And then it's up to them. They're gonna have to really do some soul searching and decide where they stand on it. Mm-hmm. You know, they can shrug their shoulders with indifference, or they can pursue it a little further and look for the truth on their own. And that's what I hope they do.
You think that the transvestigation, like John Humanity said on my broadcast a couple weeks ago, do you think it is a good way to introduce people to the deceptions of our time, like 9/11, like JFK, like Oklahoma, some of the bigger media events? Do you really?
Oh, absolutely. I tried to tune into the live broadcast of that, but I couldn't get it on my tablet. But okay. I listened to the broadcast of the recording of it a couple days ago. And yeah, absolutely. And I can't explain the science behind it, but I think there's just something in the brain. It's a survival mechanism or whatever. Because we have that overwhelming urge to reproduce, you know, and that the whole attraction thing and the biological attraction and stuff, we're wired to be on the lookout for
a mate,
you know, a mate of the opposite sex. And this is one of those things where once you bring it to their attention, you see the light bulb go on, and it really gets them thinking. And it's one of those, like I said, it's one of those things that once you see it, you can't unsee it. And mm-hmm. it's what you do with it after that concerns me just as much as waking people up. Because the last thing I want somebody to do is say, okay, I realize that the celebrity and my favorite sitcom, you know, is trans, but I'm still going to watch it because it's my favorite show. You know, I want them to think, okay, what else are they pushing on me? You know, they slipped, they took a male, made him into a female and presented them as an actress. You know, they slipped that right under my nose. What else are they doing? Are they introducing me to the occult? Or, you know, is this all this sex and violence and underhanded dealing and everything, is what effect is that having on me? And more important, you know, once they realize that there's multiple agendas being woven together here, that will they take action? I mean, will they turn their TV off and things like that? You know,
yeah.
Will they,
well, yeah. Can we explain to them that it is probably harmful in a way they don't know? Yeah. So turn off the TV.
So, you know, like I thought, like I was saying, the book that I wrote, I intentionally wrote it to challenge mainstream thought. The last thing I want somebody to do is read it and shrug their shoulders with indifference and, you know, toss it to the side. I wanted to get some type of, I wanted to elicit some type of emotion. Either they loved it, they hated it, wanted to kill me or whatever, you know, maybe not go that far, but, you know, just get really, I wanted to provoke some thought, and I wanted that thought to manifest itself in some type of action. Hopefully, you know, as the Bible says, to repent and change their ways and turn away from this stuff. And the people that come to see my transvestigations, and there's a lot of overlap between mine and my subscribership and John Humanity's and Mystery 3000 and
I want you to comment on those guys too.
What's that?
I want you to comment on all those guys too. I want your opinions. Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of overlap there, and in the people there, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, sorry, I derailed you there.
They
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
you can pause on this radio program. No one's going to change that dial.
Okay.
It's okay. Gather your thoughts if you want. Did you want to take a break and have a sip of water or something, or you got something on the go there?
Oh, I'm good. I've got a glass of water in my hand right now.
Okay. Yeah, you were saying when you're talking to new people, I think you were saying the last thing you want to do is upset them too much, maybe, or?
Well, I don't want them to, I don't want them to just go back and just to
their old ways.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I hope they start asking questions and then I can, and apart from doing transvestigations, I also do videos on, biblical doctrine, and I address some current events every now and then. But mostly, you know, I've been doing the transvestigations because it is one way to wake people up. And
well, if you talk about their celebrities, that's waking them up. If there is religious equivalents that are around today of religious leaders and people that attract attention of others, it's our celebutards. So if you put even their name in one of your YouTubes, I'm sure it gets lots of attention just because people are punching in those people's names.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, there's
another great YouTube channel, I believe you might have heard of it, called Pockets of the Future. That's what he's been doing. As soon as he started doing videos on movies and celebrities, his viewership, subscribership went way up. And he has a really, I really enjoy him. I think he should be a preacher, the way he talks. He's really good. And he really speaks from the heart.
Yeah, I've been subscribed to him for a little bit now. And I watch everything that he puts out. And he's very prolific. I see him put out sometimes 2, 3, 4 more commentaries a day.
Yeah.
And my views are pretty closely aligned to his, and I'm thinking about actually buying his book and going ahead and reading that, and you know, kind of delving into, he touches on some of the concepts, and you know, it's got me curious, so I'm looking into that. But I've got a big stack of books right now on my reading list I have to get through.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and he does talk a lot about the transgender as well. I'm not sure he doesn't get into transvestigations, but he really talks about mainstream transgender in the media, and I really appreciate his commentary. I think it's bang on. So anyone who hasn't heard of Paul, it's called Pockets of the Future on YouTube, go listen to his commentary because I think they're really great, and he's definitely one of my top listens. I just listen to him. I don't watch the YouTube. I just rip the audio and listen on my phone, but he's excellent. Do you want to comment on John Humanity, who's definitely one of the biggest and loudest of the transvestigators? And I think he does a lot of good work. He's not for everyone. A lot of people are offended by his delivery and his voice.
Yeah, I see a lot of the comments on his post, and he gets a lot of comments like that. But hey, what can you do? Mm-hmm. When I first got into first got on YouTube and everything, I was doing the basic commentaries like I intended to, and I started looking at my first introduction to the transvestigation was Apostle Laura Lee.
Okay,
and. She was very thorough in everything, and I learned from that, and I started doing my own study. And then I guess as I went along, in my I would see recommended videos for me based upon, you know, my past selections, and one of his videos came up on a transvestigation, and you know, I didn't know who John Humanity was, and I thought, interesting name, so. So I click on, and you know, it was really good. He's very, very thorough, and it wasn't like, you know, looked at 2 or 3 features and more or less, you know, hey, take my word for it. This is a dude, or this is a chick, or whatever. You know, so it really impressed me. Plus, he does a lot of videos about the hows and whys, like I mentioned earlier, which are very educational. So if he's picking up and I noticed the subscriber bases for the few transvestigators that are out there, they're growing rapidly. So I'm seeing a lot of new people come in. And so he's a great resource for people that are new to the whole transvestigation thing and might be a little skeptical or, you know, want to know more. So it's a good resource to turn to. And I see a lot of when I read the comments on some of his videos, the subscribers are really asking thought-provoking questions. They're not going on there and just, you know, bashing, you know, hey, you're an idiot. Or, I mean, yeah, we all get some of that. But it's basically a team effort, the transvestigators and the subscribership, much of which is overlapping at this point. We're all kind of a resource for each other. And anyways, I rolled into the new year with a grand total of 6 subscribers, and then I gradually built that up in like sometime in February, I guess, late February. I had a grand total of 44 subscribers, and I had commented on some of John Humanity's videos, and I guess he went to my channel. Well, obviously he went to my channel and was checking it out, and he saw that I had started doing them, and he thought that was awesome. And he said in his next transvestigation that he would give me a shout out, and true to his word, he did. And
good.
I started getting some of his subscribers that were coming over and checking out. And so I got my first couple hundred subscribers based upon that shout out. And I just kept plugging away. And, you know, and the thing is when somebody of that caliber of transvestigation gives you a shout out, it gives you a standard to live up to. So,
yeah.
You know,
now
I
you've got about 1,000, 979 it says here.
Right. So, I mean, I was already committed just the way I am. I was already committed to doing quality work. And, you know, that just forces you to step up your game and maintain a certain level of quality. So, you know, I just the great thing about being retired is, you know, I'm not rolling in cash, but, you know, I have my basic needs met, and I can sit here and do the research and look through hundreds or thousands of photos and watch videos and notice things about certain celebrities and put together a, you know, 5-6 minute slideshow, do the narration and upload a video.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm very...
Does it take most of your day now? Most of your spare time?
Well, I'm averaging about 2 a day. I try to get 2 out a day, but there's some that are really difficult. Anybody that I put on my list, either somebody that I come up with on my own or I get, I'm swamped with subscriber requests, and I think that's awesome. You know, keep them coming.
Yeah.
And as soon as I get a subscriber request, I go into my laptop and I go into I create a subfolder on that celebrity and open a transvestigation on them. And
sounds so and funny, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Open yeah, a transvestigation. So, yeah, I love that.
And a lot of these requests, I'll go in, I'll start gathering, I'll go into, you know, I'll start looking for images of that celebrity and pull a couple slides. And some of them are they're so well done that I have to, it might take me a couple weeks to do one video because I don't want to, I mean, chances are if I say that they're a transgender, I'm probably going to be right, but I don't want to just come out and say if they're iffy, you know, I'm gonna take the time and do a thorough job and look for the smoking gun, I call it, that says, yeah, that's what I was looking for. That's what really is setting them off. And sometimes you don't always see that on the first go round. So, and plus, if I look at somebody when I'm tired, you know, that affects things. So what I'll do is I'll just kind of table that transvestigation and put it on the shelf and come back, you know, maybe a day or two later and look at it with a refreshed set of eyes. And that's when it shows up. You know, they may have maybe a male to female, and they have very feminine features, but I'll see that their hands are humongous. And that's usually something that will, I don't know, fire the neurons, I guess, and, you know, get things going. And then I can look around and I can see the other features, and I'll put together a presentation.
What do you think of, how long do you think, we, Unreal used the phrase EGI, Elite Gender Inversion. He's, Unreal's a commentator on fakeologist.com. And, so he's found this difficult to do. It's not a socially acceptable piece of research for the most part. So he gets a lot of, I think, negative energy coming back when he does the investigation. So I think sometimes he's sort of pulled back a bit, if I can remember what he said. But he coined the term EGI, or adopted the term EGI, rather. What do you think of that as a good term for what you're doing, elite gender inversion investigations?
I think that's great, because if you can, we're trying to move beyond that little niche or subculture on YouTube and get it into the mainstream, and people that are on a mission like myself, you know, I'm trying to get my book in the hands of as many people as possible and get that word out there. So it's at some point you're going to have to move beyond the little subculture and into the mainstream. And if you're just going to be a clown, you know, and I'm sure as word gets out, the shills and trolls are going to come in, start channels, and try to discredit the people out there that are doing quality work.
Yeah.
But we want to. I mean, I try to. I'm not really there to entertain people. I do try to interject some levity when the opportunity presents itself. You know, try to work in a little joke, or, you know, a little quip or something, get a chuckle out of people.
Yeah. Got a couple chuckles out of me.
Well, good. The one about
the tranny. Drop a transmission. A tranny.
Oh yeah.
Faster than you can drop a tranny. That was ironic. Dual meaning.
Yeah, there was one I did the other day on Bella Hadid. I saw one picture of her. I was really pointing out her very wide, square shoulders. But I got down to her feet, and it looked like she was wearing clown shoes. I mean, these feet, these shoes were just huge. And I said, okay, I was working from head to toe, and I got to her feet, and I said, she's got some really huge feet. Either that, or she rolled a clown and stole his shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to laugh at it a bit.
But yeah, if we just come in as crude and crass and everything, I mean, like you said earlier, you mentioned somebody's favorite celebrity off their favorite show, and they become so protective and defensive about these people that they don't even know, or these people won't even care about them as individuals.
Yeah, they get defensive about their celebrities.
So if we start saying, hey, you know, your favorite actress, you know, has, you know, something extra, little something extra in her pants, you know, they're going to give you a knee jerk prescribed response, you know, like one of Pavlov's dogs. And, so I think if we come in not looking like, you know, a fringe group or a bunch of crackpots or anything, but able to actually speak intelligently about that, I think that's great. And that helps the cause all the more.
So you like the word EGI for
Oh, absolutely. I love it. And when John Humanity came out with this little documentary there a couple weeks ago, I was lucky enough. I was one of the first ones to watch it right after he posted it. And yeah. I said, hey, I'm going to share this. And I've started I put a link to that video in the description block of every video I've posted since then. So the word's getting out.
So when do you think they start the transgender process, and do you think it makes a difference when they start it in the human being's development?
Oh yeah, I think I mean, some of these people have, and not just celebrities, but, you know, like politicians, maybe elite business people, stuff like that. They could have been, the older people could have been subjected to this shortly after birth. It depends. We see certain features, you know, that develop, some that are there before puberty and some after, you know, so it all depends on when that process starts. You can suppress or enhance certain features with surgery and hormones and whether they've gone through puberty or not. But what we're finding is that a lot of the younger ones are most likely being transgendered in utero. And Humanity's got a great... I'm sorry, what's that?
I said that's crazy that they're doing it in utero. That's almost child abuse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even after birth, you know, it's just terrible what they're doing to these people, and that, you know, they have absolutely no say in it. But John Humanity did a great video called Transgendered in the Womb, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he one of the first slides he pulls up is a Wikipedia page with, like, I forget what it is, like sexual conditions or something like that. And there's all kinds of abnormalities that are not just mutations and stuff that are inherent in nature, but that could happen to a child, like Klinefelter's and stuff like that. But there's, I believe that they actually have the ability to create that in a lab or, you know, in utero. You know, basically, you know, could be possible. They could, with genetic engineering, they could custom order exactly what they're looking for. And a couple things like Klinefelter's that I mentioned is you know, it's a male, XY male, but they have an extra female X chromosome, so they're XXY, and they have a lot of intersex characteristics. And I saw an extreme case. One of the videos I did was Carolyn Cossey, who was a famous transgender, one of the I guess she's like a leading spokesperson for the transgender movement, who had a rare variation of Klinefelter's, where she had three X chromosomes, so she was XXXY. And I
don't know where I stand on chromosome theory. I think it's still a theory, which means I'm not sure it's real science. I'm a real science skeptic. Scientism, I think, has replaced the scientific method, because I think scientism is just a form of propaganda that's used against us. So I'm really leery of this whole chromosome talk, where we go X and XY, and can you even detect it in the blood? You know, the whole, I've just been really suspicious of even DNA as a, because it's a theory as well. So I almost think chromosomes are some kind of psychological operation as well.
Yeah, I'm just really getting into it. I don't really know much more about than what I was taught in high school biology about, you know, the 46 chromosomes and XX and XY and everything. So I really have a voracious appetite for learning all this stuff. And like you said, you know, it's going to be, I'm sure going to have to do a lot of deconstructing and deprogramming of stuff that I've thought, that I thought I knew, you know, and really figure out what's what. But it's really interesting to see just when I thought I knew how deep the rabbit hole went.
Yes.
You know, it goes deeper.
Yeah, for instance, I just looked it up. I've never even looked it up because I don't hear people discussing it, but I'm pretty sure DNA isn't real. And it says here, the Boveri-Sutton chromosome theory. It's a theory. Theory is not a fact. It's just a way of explaining something that you observe, also known as the chromosome theory of inheritance or the Sutton-Boveri theory. See, I've never even heard of these two people. Is a fundamental unifying theory of genetics which identifies chromosomes as the carriers of genetic material. So it's just saying that there's such a thing called chromosomes that carry genetic material that's used for correctly explaining the mechanism underlying the laws of Mendelian inheritance. By identifying chromosomes with the paired factors, brackets, particles required by Mendel's laws. And then it gets into it. It states simply that chromosomes, which are seen in all dividing cells and pass one generation to the next, are the basis for all genetic inheritance. Over a period of time, random mutation creates changes in DNA sequence of gene. So see, that all that I think is pseudoscience. That's promoted as fact. And that's just how things go. And sometimes they make jokes, like someone created the idea of a dinosaur and it was more of a joke, and then all of a sudden it's science. And they're spoofing us to this day. They just said today they found the biggest dinosaur footprint ever in Western Australia. And I think it started off as just a hoax, but it just, over time, people forget it was a hoax, or the people that protested it at the time that this is just a joke and a hoax, they died off, and just the propaganda never ceased, and it becomes fact. It's shocking.
Every couple months they roll out a story about, you know, finding a dinosaur bone or a skull or something like that, and I always hear about it first from the Jungle Surfer. He jumps right on that. You know, I wake up in the morning and roll over and look at YouTube, and they're recommended for you. You know, Jungle Surfer doing something about, you know, a dinosaur bone, you know, found in Australia or whatever.
Well, there's a huge list of things that are hoaxes, and I have Google send me messages every day when they appear. For instance, 9/11. The Nazis, Hitler, JFK, nuclear, all these I think are hoaxes to some extent. And they invent a story almost every day or every week reinforcing the hoax. It's unbelievable. There is always a story about the Holocaust, Hitler, Nazis. It never ends. And you don't even notice at this point. Most people don't even notice because they don't realize what's happening. They don't realize that they are inventing stories on a fake theory or just a fake message. That message could be 100 years old. But because it goes so far back, people think, well, somebody would have said something in 100 years. And I always answer, said it to who? If they control the media and the banking system, who are they telling? Who's going to promote it? Yeah, okay, Jungle Surfer, but who listens to him? Who listens to me? Right? You see? Mm-hmm. Or they disguise it in comedy. So they give the message to someone who we're not going to take seriously. We're going to just dismiss it out of hand because the messenger is a bit of a joke. And, of course, that's why I like your calm delivery, because you seem more genuine than everyone else when it comes to delivering, I think, is an important message.
Yeah, and part of the calm delivery that stems from, I think I mentioned earlier, you know, wanting to promote my book, if I just come across as a ranting, raving lunatic, or I'm just putting out false information, it's not only gonna hurt my credibility in trying to promote the book, but for me, it's also an accountability issue to my creator. You know, I'm trying to glorify God, and I know that I'm going to stand before Him. And if I've been slandering people I'll call these celebrities out on, you know, if they're promoting the occult or, you know, violence and stuff like that, I'll call them out. But, you know, if I don't like to speak, I don't like to speak in absolute terms.
Yeah, that's wise.
Unless I can be absolutely certain. And the only way to be absolutely 100% certain is, you know, check the chromosomes, you know, if that is actually a real thing.
Yeah.
But I doubt that that some celebrity's publicist is really going to take my request for a DNA sample seriously. So yeah. I be very careful about speaking in absolute terms, and it's not, you know, it's not out of fear or, you know, cowardice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an accountability issue.
No, it's wise. And it's wise. It's a wise way to approach it. Speaking of Jungle Surfer, what do you think of him? Do you think he's delivering a serious message, or he's just? Do you think his delivery is a distraction from the message?
Well, he doesn't go through the checklist and everything like Apostle Orly and some others, you know, going head to toe and trying to educate, you know, pulling up diagrams of male and female skulls. And chances are the people that he brings up, he's probably right, you know, but to the average person that's hearing it for the first time, about the whole clandestine transgender agenda, they might not be inclined to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And I like some of his other stuff that he puts on there. I don't watch everything that he has, cause you know, he's got the three channels there. So it's kind of hard for me to keep up with everything, but I do try to at least, look and see what's new and see if there's something that he's got that I'd be interested in watching. But he is, for the most part, he is entertaining. I mean, some of the little colloquialisms that he comes up with, yeah, or Jungle Surfer isms, he might have a female to male suspected transgender, and they're wearing a pair of shorts, and they might see a little bulge, and he'll say that they're smuggling, budgie smuggling,
or a package. Yeah, he's a little. I don't think you want to bring him home to mom. In other words, I don't think he's shareable as much as some other more calm voices. Speaking of male to female or female to male, what do you think is easier to expose? Male to female or female to male?
I don't know. It's kind of a toss up. A lot of the females that I've done are, I alluded earlier to like a tranny radar that I call it, or alarm bells, tranny alarm bells, and I don't know. Once you know the differences, when you see those differences on somebody of the opposite sex, it just has set something off. And mm-hmm. for these celebrities, you know, it prompts me to take a further look. And like some of these Victoria's Secret models, oh my goodness, their jaws are bigger than mine. Mm-hmm. And they just have the humongous cheekbones and the Cro-Magnon brow ridge. And but I counted them up. I've actually done 40 female to male transvestigations. So for me, it's a toss up. I feel comfortable doing either one. And some of the female to males are extremely well done. I actually did one on Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. And there were just a couple things that I noticed about him that prompted further exploration. And most people would dismiss, you know, just looking at him because, you know, he's muscular, all pumped up for his Wolverine movies, and he can grow full bushy beard. And, you know, he's got the Adam's apple and the...
So he's a top of the line. He's a top of the line version.
Oh, yeah. And then there's other ones that I just noticed that they have like a female waist indentation, and it's there plain as day. I mean, like Justin Bieber, I mean, it just stands out. He can lift all the weights he wants, and he might put a little muscle, little meat on his shoulders, but he can do crunches and sit-ups, but he's still going to have, for the most part, those female waist indentations that somebody somebody who knows what to look for will look and say, hey, that looks, those look like female hips.
So when do they do it to Justin Bieber, for instance? Because he comes from a small town near to where I live. Do you think they caught him earlier? What about the so-called people that say they went to school with him? Were they a witness to this?
Well, you know what? I've heard that they hide these people in plain sight. They have what they present is normal. They hide them in plain sight. They go to high school and mm-hmm. and whatever and play sports. And but I don't believe the backstory that, you know, he was doing karaoke in his parents' basement or whatever and recorded it and posted it to YouTube. And, mm-hmm. you know, some A-list yeah. singer saw it and, you know, mentored him. And now he's a superstar in his own right. And because Adele's got a similar backstory. I did a transvestigation on a young Justin Bieber type named Austin Mahone. Mm-hmm. Same thing. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, it works. It works for people like that, but not for me. You know,
yeah.
I'm posting videos, you know, and I had posting videos for 6 months. I had 6 subscribers, you know. So, you know, it's real easy to create backstories for,
yes.
for these people.
I agree.
But I think I really can't – it would just be speculation on my part on when yeah. it happened for Justin Bieber. But we were talking about like the chromosome differences and mutations, variations, and genetic manipulation and engineering. You know, and if all that stuff is true, it's very possible for a baby to be born with XX chromosomes, yet still have male genitalia. So I don't know if somebody like Justin Bieber has male genitalia or mm-hmm. or not, but I want people to know that it's entirely possible, as far as I can tell, for an XX chromosome female to come out with fully functioning male genitalia. And I'm actually going to work on a video tomorrow about because I've done so many female to male transvestigations. I'm going to do a video about addressing one of the common comments that I get. It's like, well, I saw him in a sex tape, or I saw yeah. him in a full frontal, and you know.
Well, you saw somebody in a sex tape. See, that's when we get into manufacturing of media that I don't take any, I don't lend any credence to.
Right, and that's one of the points I tried to make with that whole Tommy Lee sex tape thing. And it's like, that video was, you know, it was leaked because somebody wanted it out there.
Oh, yes, and, yes, deliberate, and publicity.
And if Hollywood can make you believe that, you know, your favorite actor is in a Jurassic Park movie and he's being chomped to death by a dinosaur and everything, yeah. they can certainly pull off a stage-managed production,
yes,
making
yes.
it look like some drunken idiot is holding a camcorder filming, you know, two A-list celebrities getting it on a boat somewhere.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. And some people will just dismiss it as PR, but it's manufactured media. There's no doubt about it. It's promotion.
So you know, and
I agree.
And even if the genitalia you see is real and it's not CGI or a clever stand-in, sleight of hand,
yeah.
camera trickery, stuff like that,
yeah.
it's very possible that, yeah, they could be a they could have – you check their DNA and they have XX chromosomes. They're a biological female and they'll have a lot of intersex characteristics. Mm-hmm. And
but I doubt they'd be fertile though. I think
– yeah.
Yeah,
there's a condition called XX male syndrome, mm-hmm. where they have the XX chromosomes, but they have a lot of the male features, and it says they're invariably sterile.
Yes.
Now who knows? I mean,
how would you know?
They may be able to make sperm, but not enough to naturally reproduce. But they may be able to take like a single sperm and fertilize an egg. I don't know. It's beyond the level of study that I've done so far.
I wonder if even the XX and the XY has some kind of occult meaning or gematria or numerological type meaning. I don't even know where that originated. Someone should research that and just where did all this come from? Where did all these symbols and letters and words, it's all spelling and spellcraft. It all has a esoteric meaning that's very important, I think, to investigate. I think we need to know. We're using their language, so what does it mean? What are we saying? More so than just the words. Is there a meaning to it that is hidden that we need to learn?
Yeah, it's funny because Apostle Laura Lee and some others have pointed out that it's like a lot of these transgenders, they have it's kind of hidden in their name. Like Laura Lee did a video on the Friends star, Courtney Cox.
Yes,
and it's like,
yes.
Cox, yes. You know, it's right there. And
Jackman. You mentioned Hugh Jackman. Jackman, what's that name? Where does that come from? Is this a pseudonym?
Yeah, and somebody pointed out that his wife is considerably older than he is. I don't know by how much, but I guess they were together when he was a young up and comer, breaking into the business. They started on a soap opera together, and I guess they fell in love and got married. And you always wonder, you know, is she his handler, or maybe he's her handler? I don't know.
Or maybe they're not even together in any, except for pictures.
Right, exactly. We never know. I mean, if they're willing to deceive you about one aspect, they're willing to deceive you about everything else.
No doubt about it. What do you think? Have you ever listened or thought about Howard Stern and his role in this whole transvestigation agenda? I only mention him because he's one of the most famous radio people of all time, and he's a huge influencer, as I like to call these people.
Oh, yeah, somebody that can reach out and grab and hold a big audience like that. They're gonna use him for more than just entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
And John Humanity, I think he's the one that did a transvestigation of Howard Stern. He pulled up a lot of compelling evidence, and he's listed as like 6'5", and he's actually probably taller than that. So he's one of the taller ones out there, but depending on, you know, if he is transgender, depending on when they did it, you know, the hormones could have had an effect to mm-hmm. make him very tall.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of that, but I just brought him up because I think now that I think about, cause I listened to him for a long time. Because I've always liked radio, and until I found podcasting and listening to recorded material, he was the number one person I listened to, and he got me into 9/11 and Jesse Ventura and all those. I have a whole story on fakeologist.com. But the more I think about it and the more I look back, it seems like he had a tranny hive. All his friends, even his new wife, just everyone he surrounds himself with looks like they are good candidates for a transvestigation. It's off the charts. And he's always promoting deviant behavior. And it's titillating. And immature men like myself for a long time liked it. And it was provocative radio, to be honest. It was interesting, off the beaten path. But now that I think about it, I think he's running a tranny hive. I think all his top guests and friends that he keeps around him allegedly are should be on the top of the list of transvestigation. Jennifer Aniston, and again his wife, who has always been accused of having a horse face. It's just off the charts, and maybe that's one of his tasks in the media.
Yeah, there's a couple other transvestigators out there. They're not doing like the thorough head to toe transvestigations, but they are exposing the transgender agenda. They're out there on YouTube. There's a guy called Peter Gabriel. There's a guy, and not to be confused with a singer.
Okay.
There's one called Suspension of Disbelief. I think he's in Germany because he does subtitles.
Okay.
And there's, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Haristos Mandalore.
Yeah, I've looked at him. So Peter Gabriel's a transvestigator?
Yep.
Twisted Twins, interesting. Okay, I'm going to put him on my list.
And one of those, not so well known transvestigators actually did a little brief, I don't know, maybe 5-6 minute video on. They played a clip from one of Howard Stern's TV shows, and they had a couple guests. They weren't like A-list celebrities. They had like maybe two or three females that came in, and you know, he had his little entourage there in the studio, the comedian and Baba Booey and whatever his name is.
Yeah.
So anyways, the thing was, is they had these women standing there. And like I said, there's maybe two or three, maybe four. They were standing there. They were interviewing them. And then what he did is he had them pull up their tops and drop their drawers, and they stood there, and the crowd in there had to guess which one was a transsexual and which one was real.
I might have heard that show back in the day.
Yeah, so one of those three transvestigators actually has that clip. And
okay, so you mentioned Peter Gabriel. Who else? So I'm putting that in the chat here under the general chat of Discord. I got Peter Gabriel. Did you mention Hoodna? Hudna. She just popped up on my YouTube screen.
No, I'd never heard of that.
Hoodna. Okay. She's just a person talking a lot of religious angle. What's this? She's talking about boys into girls through castration.
And I really wanted to hone on this because I know that the Heavenly Father is answering my prayer over this. 5 years from now, I would have been very angry. But at this point, the Heavenly Father is giving me wisdom in kind of sharing this to people, because this is not going to be, this is not something I could just pick up.
Okay, she's talking about boys into girls through castration. So I think she's on the same track. Well, she could, I think it's chemical castration, by the way, and castratos. That's a real thing, I think.
One of the other transvestigators is suspension of disbelief.
Okay, I'll look that one up and link to it. Anyone who's listening always likes to go over the notes of the show and look some of this up. Suspension of disbelief. I don't find that person because it's just too many search results.
Maybe let me see if I can pull them up.
I'll type in transvestigator if that helps. No, that doesn't help. Yeah, some of them are hard to find. They're not exactly promoted by YouTube.
Yeah.
Not necessarily by not necessarily deliberately, but if they don't have a number of followers, they're hard to find. And when you have a funny or a common phrase name like suspension of I put in belief. It's sometimes hard to find. Suspension of disbelief. I got another 20 minutes or so if you do.
Absolutely.
I found it. David Hasselhoff is on the top of his list. Well,
yeah,
I just subscribed to this guy.
I just put in the link to his...
Oh, good. Okay, good. He's done some good work?
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff. I mean, he's not like... Well, actually, he is kind of in depth. He does like a lot of pictures and everything, and points out features. And he's based out of Germany, I believe. So he does do English and German.
Okay. And there's subtitles, I guess, or he speaks in German.
Oh, I don't think. I don't think he actually speaks. He just, it's just like a unnarrated slideshow.
Oh, yes, with music.
Yeah.
A lot of press.
And then there's somebody that just started. She's getting her channel up and going, Michelle X. She offers a unique perspective because she, I guess she used to work with some, not really with A-list celebrities, but her line of business, they would interact with, some A-list celebrities, and so she offers a unique perspective. She's actually met some of these people in person.
Oh, here's one. She met Jennifer Aniston.
Hi, guys. Today's video
is
her? About Jennifer Aniston.
That's it.
And my...
She has a croaky voice. It's very suspicious, I hate to tell you. Do you think she's a tranny?
I don't know. It's hard to tell because, you know, I'd have to look at a whole bunch of pictures and everything.
Yeah, that's true. Well, bathing suit pictures, as I made a note of, they got to be one of your greatest, most important tools.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I get requests to do like the televangelist Joyce Meyer here in the United States. And, you know, I can look at facial features and stuff, but I believe she's had a lot of plastic surgery on the facial area. But you're most likely not going to catch pictures of her in, you know, in a swimsuit, you know, strutting along the beach or anything to do a really in-depth transvestigation. I mean, you'd have to like kind of look at, try to glean what you can from just looking at her in a skirt or pantsuit or whatever she wears during her crusades.
Yeah. Because the main thing that I like about transvestigation is examining the body structure. And when you see someone in a bathing suit, and we're just going to have to assume that they are pictures of the celebrity in question. They could be there falsely promoted and seated on the internet. It's hard to tell. But if we just try and assume that one thing is real and these images are, then to examine the hips and the pelvis and the Q angle, they are definitely some of the more compelling points. I really don't like the index finger one because it's so easy to dispute, and I can just turn to my left and right and look at a male or a female, and they'll say, oh, this finger is actually longer on me. So that's a really weak one, and you're easily shut down if you just promote that. So I find
I get that a lot in the comments, and I usually have to put a disclaimer in there, and I just say, hey, I'm just being thorough. Like I said, I do the holistic approach, look at as many features as possible, but there are outliers, and none of the transvestigators out there worth their salt are gonna base a transvestigation off a single feature, especially not the fingers. Mm-hmm. So I just say it's something I look at. And if I see a male that has a really short ring finger, that arouses suspicion, but I'm not going to say, oh, that's a woman right there. Yeah. But it will definitely prompt some further examination. And it usually turns out, you know, you move on down towards the hips and then the hips will give it away. It's like, well, those are childbearing hips right there on a man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real important to definitely go through the whole list. But there are certain things that even the elite can't really change. And the skeletal structure is definitely, you can definitely put padding and remove certain ribs. I guess the floating ribs was mentioned in one of the transvestigators' videos. For instance, Marilyn Monroe probably had a couple floating ribs or three on each side removed.
Yeah, and there was a video done. I thought I really thought that Raquel Welch might actually be one of the real ones because, you know, her prime was like, you know, 40, 45 years ago.
70s, yeah.
Yeah, and but it turns out I saw the video and they pointed out where it looks like she did have ribs removed, and I think she actually fessed up to having ribs removed too, but the female waist indentation, or the quote unquote female waist indentation, actually sits lower than where it should on a natural mm-hmm. female.
Yeah.
So I mean that was a dead giveaway, and I was like, oh man, I grew up watching, you know, 1 million BC, watching her running around, and you know, I certainly wasn't watching it for the dialogue because there wasn't any.
Well, the torsos are so distorted when they remove the ribs. They're so odd looking. They almost look collapsed or about to collapse. It's really not a great idea to remove ribs.
No, and I see. I mean, it looks like some of these models, they have one removed on each side, but I've been seeing about I've been seeing stories about people that actually, I mean, they're not transgender, or at least they won't admit to it.
Yeah.
They say they have like two or three removed, and it's like, what is that doing to your internal organs? You know, that type of surgery. I've been hitting the ribs. I never had ribs cracked or broken, but just getting hit in the ribs, it hurts really, really bad. And I can imagine them cutting you open and going in there and breaking one off or sawing one off has got to be painful. You know, even,
yeah, I saw rib surgery on YouTube. I guess maybe someone put it in their transvestigation. And you got to think that our bodies are built perfectly on purpose. So when you remove the rib cage, that to me seems to be armor for the torso, and it's structure for the torso. It's there for a reason. So you remove it, that you're exposing yourself to potential problems, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, having a thin waist definitely isn't worth that that expense. No.
Yeah, not for your 5 or 10 minutes of fame on the public spotlight, because, as we all know, and they're all told, there's someone down the line ready to replace you at any time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that reminds me... Yeah, go.
It makes me wonder, you know, where we're all going with this. I mean, I wonder if... I mean, it's gone through my mind that, you know, if this breaks mainstream, what if they're actually hoping that this goes mainstream? And these, you know, how committed these people are to their celebtards and vigorously defend them to the, you know, to the point of like, you know, want to beat you up and disfellowship from you.
Yeah.
What if it's being rolled out that when they can no longer contain it, it comes out that, yeah, a lot of these A-listers are indeed transgender, and that puts in the minds of these young impressionable people that, hey, if that's what it takes to become successful, then I'm gonna go ahead and get it, and then I can go out to Hollywood, and that'll be my ticket in. And they don't realize that these A-listers, you know, are coming in from like a closed loop feeder type system. You know, that the whole going out to Hollywood and waiting tables and auditioning and stuff like that until you get your big break, you know, that stuff just doesn't happen.
You're just going to be abused the whole time. Yeah, if not as a waiter, as sitting on the Hollywood couch.
Oh, yeah, and they're just going to – and somebody can just string you along and use you and abuse you, you know, until you're, you know, you're middle-aged and you're broken and
without a career. What do you – and this is my theory that I was thinking about. I don't know what you think of this. And I thought that one of the possibilities that they create these people, these in-betweens, these transgenders in Hollywood anyway, is to control them. Because you can control people with money for sure. And I think most top Hollywood actors are on salary. They don't get $20 million up front, I don't think. I don't think they own their houses. I don't think they get to keep much of it. I think it's all a front on display. And so they're on a salary, and as soon as they get off message, they're probably reduced or cut off at any time, and they don't really have much choice but to do what they're told. But I was wondering, do you think that all this alteration of these people is used for an ultimate control? Because if they go off any of their maintenances, their surgery, their hormones, their top makeup, their top doctors and dietitians to maintain, do you think that this is a control mechanism to keep these people in check and on message?
I think I heard you bring this up with John Humanity a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And yeah, I think that's a very real possibility. It got me thinking when I listened to the broadcast. Yeah, they got to have some way of control in, because even these people that are hailed as, you know, quote unquote, exposing the Illuminati or whatever, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt and wonder if that's just a psyop. You know, like when Kanye West supposedly broke down in concert and was committed and everything, and then they let him out, and did he really like resist his programming breakdown, or was that, you know, carefully controlled? Because it all happened like right around the election time. And so he breaks down, he gets put in the psych ward and everything. Then he gets released. And his first photo op is he's posing with Donald Trump in the lobby of Trump Tower with blonde hair. And it makes you wonder if they're just trying to say, okay, he had a mental breakdown and now he's posing with Donald Trump. This is the type of people that hang out with Donald Trump, you know, it just seems really suspicious. You know, his first photo op out of the hospital, he's posing with Donald, President-elect Donald Trump in the lobby of Trump Tower. So, and speaking of like exposing the Illuminati, there was a whole episode over the last couple of years with Randy Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
And very talented actor. I mean, I grew up watching, you know, The Last Picture Show and the Vacation movies and everything like that. And he was always – he's like an expert at playing like the oddball character.
Yeah.
So you have to be like a special type of actor, really, really talented to play something, you know, that type of character, you know. And it's like, is this guy really on the run, you know, fleeing – cross borders and everything, you know, just one step ahead of these elusive hitmen that are trying to, you know, one of the so-called star whackers, you know, when like some of these celebrity deaths are, you know, you wonder if they're hoaxes.
Yeah.
And he lists, you know, some of the names of people that he was friends with that are also their deaths are very suspect. And so it makes you wonder, is his message on the up and up? Is, you know,
I doubt it. I agree with you. He's definitely, the messages are controlled, and I don't think anyone speaks out of line out of turn. So I don't have any problem agreeing that it's definitely contrived. I'm looking at just one little message in the chat here under the Discord app under general, and TypeAware, one of the listeners, said would you care to read a pertinent paragraph or two from your book, maybe as a way to close out the broadcast? Is there something that's relative to, maybe you can tie them both together?
Actually I'll
because there is a chapter that's free on online on your rebootingchristianity.com channel.
I put the free chapter out there on the second coming of Christ, a very misunderstood doctrine. And the thing about that is it is free, but it presumes a certain amount of knowledge that's gleaned from the other chapters of the book. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt.
Is that futurism, by the way?
What's that?
Is that futurism?
Yes.
Okay. Because I had a guest in the past, Tom Fress and Walt Stickle. I'm not, again, very into the religion aspect, but I do think that the Christians are more aware of what's going on than the average person, because they're presented with a certain reality of the Bible that they live under. So I think they're just more sensitive. Because I think a lot of this satanic stuff, it doesn't hit us non-Christians or non-religious people and as much as it does you Christians. So you guys are way more sensitive, and because it is aimed at you guys, essentially.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, in my book, I talk about how the most influential institutions in our lives have been methodically, surreptitiously compromised over a long period of time. And, you know, the government, business, education, Hollywood, which is a propaganda arm, and even the churches, the seminaries and the mega churches and the Christian leadership.
Yeah.
And they're all, even if they're not all, you know, huddling in the same room and everything, you know, coming up with a playbook, you know, they're all singing from the same sheet of music, and they're all basically because the average Christian doesn't understand their Bible and understand what it says. We're kind of mired down in, in false doctrine and were rendered ineffective. And that's a nice little segue into, I'm going to read you a paragraph from the introduction of my book.
Okay.
And that is, "It is my steadfast conviction that the seemingly insurmountable problems we see in America exist for one reason and one reason only. Christians are not doing their divinely ordained duties. How can a nation that, almost literally, has a church on every street corner like America, be so wayward? Abortion, murder, drug and alcohol addiction, pornography, infidelity, sexual immorality, and countless other sins flow freely. People simply don't understand the very book that tells them what their duties are, which is coupled with a complete indifference and unwillingness to engage in some hardcore, full-contact Bible study. Today's mainstream denominational Judeo-Christian has been put in a box, pushed into the corner, and rendered to be no threat at all."
And that is an excellent summary of what's really going on. The neutralization, I guess, of the churches and the people that follow them effectively.
Yeah, we've been taught to believe our job is to be nice or to always have a smile on our face and not be judgmental and everything. Well, there's times to be nice and there's times to not be nice. And we're kind of at a point where, I mean, there's times to keep your head down and play it safe, and then there's a time in life where you got to jump out of the foxhole, break cover, and charge the machine gun nest. And you know, that's the point we're at right now, and that's why I feel compelled to, you know, put myself out there like that. And you know, I'm certainly don't consider myself a hero or anything. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing as part of the kingdom. So one of the best ways I felt to do that was to write a book, and now it's up to me to promote it. So I got the YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and I stumbled across this, which I believe to be a very real agenda, and it's being allowed to fester for all these years and flourish and externalize now because so many people didn't stand up and say something about it. So,
well, I think you're doing a great job saying something and standing up to, I guess, the very negative media and an agenda for sure. An agenda they're not hiding, and the transvestigation is a big part of it. And I think you're an asset to the team that's working counterculture from the mainstream. And I think your website, rebootingchristianity.com, and your YouTube channel that I've linked on FAK162, Fakeologist Radio 162, is definitely worth checking out for everyone involved, anyone following. And I want to give my appreciation for you coming out and speaking. You've gone a long time on the...
Hey, it was my pleasure. I really enjoyed myself. I can't believe it. 2.5 hours have gone by already.
Yeah, if I didn't get up so early, I'd be able to keep going more, but I have a physical limitation, I think, and I don't want to keep you for any longer, but I certainly would definitely have you back. And sometimes I take calls, but sometimes the calls just interrupt the stream. I interrupt enough, of course, as a host, but I think maybe next time we'll have you back and we can do a Q&A, maybe if anyone has any questions. But yeah, keep up the good work and keep us skeptical people of EGI and transvestigation in the loop, because sometimes these other channels are a little hard to take. But you definitely have videos that we can pass on to others and just poke them a bit, saying, "Hey, look at this. Is there something to this?" Because I think there is.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you very much. It was great being here.
All right. Thanks very much, Todd. And thanks for everyone for listening. We'll close it out. with a little bit of our normal outro music, Crime of the Century, which, of course, could possibly have been 9/11. Anyway, have a good night, everybody. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
Now they're planning the crime of the century. Well, what will it be? Read all about their schemes and adventuring.
Thank you for listening to Fakeologist Radio. We do this show most Saturday nights. We stream our show 24/7 at stream.fakeologist.com. Contact us at contact.fakeologist.com. Our archives are at radio.fakeologist.com. Our backup site is fakeologist.wordpress.com. We're dedicated to exploring the world of media fakery. Since you're aware, point others to our website and let them discover a reality that they probably never knew existed.
But that's not right. Oh no, what's the story? Look, there's you and there's me. Thank you.
works 1 second and then it doesn't work and then you reboot it and it's just peachy keen. Let's see if the good listenership can hear us. I'll turn the stream on for a minute and see if the good listenership can hear. I don't know if they're... if you can look on the... have you ever used this program before?
No, I sure haven't. I never even heard of it before.
Okay. Streaming live. Excuse me. Live. Can anyone hear? I like to stay off the big boys like YouTube and Skype as much as possible. As I said before, I don't think this is owned by the big boys.
But I'm not. Okay. Yeah, I understand wanting to keep a low profile.
Well, it's not so much a low profile. It's just I want to stay away from other companies that control everything.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I see what's happening here. Okay. I just want to see if anyone can hear us. I'm not sure anyone's looking to hear us, so let's just check my good old phone here. See if I'm coming through.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio 2.
That'll be the intro music.
Okay.
I'll intro, and then I'll talk, and then I'll get right to talking to you. How much time do you got? Have?
I can speak. I'm single, no kids, so got all the time in the world.
All right. That's great. I usually go about 1 to 2 hours, just depending on how the conversation goes.
Okay.
I own my own radio station here at fakeologist.com, so I can do whatever the hell I want.
That's awesome.
I own my own audio server. I'm using Discord, which is their server, but I didn't realize that till I just started using it. So it has a few things that go through its server, but what I try and do is just encourage people to come to my own platform as opposed to using the big boys. Mm-hmm. So I'm always experimenting with different software to see which one gets the most people over. And if you look on the right, I'm just looking at the Discord server right now, or the Discord screen. On the right, you can see who is in the chat now.
Okay.
So you've got Lumberjack Greg. He's got a little yellow thing by his name, which means he's idle. He's not around, but he's online, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, here's Zylflex. Can you see these names?
Yep, sure can.
Okay. Zylflex is now verified. Okay, so all these people with the green are online, with the green dots. So okay. You're online. You should see me online with a green dot in my icon.
Yep, sure do.
Okay, the guy with the red doesn't want to be disturbed. The guy with the yellow, I think they're away. And so you're a verified person, which just means that I, you can get into the live stream, which is here, which is what we're in.
Okay.
That live stream's not quite working right the way I want it, but what it means is you can come in and talk in my live stream and go out over my live audio server 24/7 if you so desire.
Okay.
Most people don't go in on their own. They might bring someone in for a conversation. Okay, so it looks like I got two people. Now, on the left are text channels, and I've got General Verified. We talk about 9/11, EGI. Which we're going to talk about today. Baller, Skeptic. These are just separate text channels. So you can click on any of them and change the window in the middle to just show you what people are talking about.
Okay.
It's searchable. It's scrollable. A lot of links. Not everything is interesting, but when people are just talking and conversing.
Okay, so what's ab?
Where does it say that?
I was just on your website. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, my first pseudonym was Aberrato, and then after about a year, I just changed it to Fakeologist.
Okay.
Because Fakeologist is I just created the word. I don't know if it, well, it's always been a word, but I decided to adopt it as for media fakery. And therefore, then I just started to call myself the Fakeologist. But so it's hard to delete the old thing because it was linked to so many websites. So I just left it.
Okay.
So it's my other personality, my alter ego. Aberrato means angry man in Latin. It's a legal term. How do I know that? I looked it up. So I'm getting no feedback, but it looks like everything's going out on the live stream. It looks like I'm recording. You can hear me well. I'm coming through loud and clear, I think. I sound loud to you?
Yep. I actually had to turn the volume down.
Fantastic. All right. Do you have... You've just got a YouTube channel. Do you have a web? Actually, you have a website too, don't you?
Yep, I sure do.
So I have to plug that. Now, if you go to fakeologist.com right now, you should see today's show on the top. FAK164. Do you see that?
Let me pull up your site right now.
Fill that up, please.
Okay, so where would it be?
Actually, it's FAK162. Okay, just let me look here and bring it up myself. It should be on the top. I'm going to make it a sticky. Hold on.
Yep, there it is, FAK162.
That's going to be a sticky. Okay, yeah. Okay. So right then and there is where I'm going to put a link to your website. And I want to make sure I have a link to your YouTube channel. And any comments to the show will go there.
Okay.
I forgot to put who. Okay, so who? It's rebooting Christianity. And your website...
is www.rebootingchristianity.com.
Rebooting, one word, Christianity.com.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go there, and I bet you probably linked to your YouTube channel as well somewhere there, did you, or no?
Yep, absolutely.
Links. Links?
That's correct.
Okay. Copy, link, and YouTube channel. Okay, so I'm going to link to that. Okay. All right, there it is. Now, usually, sometimes when I'm doing these pre-calls, I usually tack them on to the end of the show. Some people are really fascinated with idle banter. Are you okay with that?
Yep, absolutely.
You haven't said anything too exciting? Okay, if you refresh the page, you should see it. So any links that are relevant to our conversation, I'm going to put here. any show notes. So if you have, what I suggest is if you have any links while we're talking, throw them into, I guess throw them into this general box for now. So you want to try doing one just to make sure it works?
Sure.
Just throw a link to maybe we can discuss a particular YouTube that you did.
Okay.
And it should pop up, and this thing is pretty good. It'll show the graphic, and then we can click on it. Anyone that's listening. I saw you typing, but now I don't see anything pop up.
I just...
Oh, there we go. Oh, she's a beauty. Or he's a beauty. Can you hear? I'm going to play it now. I want to make sure you can hear it.
Sure. Well, actually, this one here is... there's no audio. It's just a slideshow.
Oh, no audio. Not too bad.
Yeah.
All right. Grace Elizabeth. Always suspicious of people with two first names. He's hot. Man, oh man. It's getting harder and harder to tell, isn't it?
It is. I mean, some of these just really jump out at you, but with surgical advancement and hormone treatments and stuff like that, it's really tough to tell.
Yeah, we don't have a chance. The general public doesn't have a chance against these guys.
I was really surprised to learn that there were entire medical practices devoted just to transgender surgery, and to get somebody through the entire process, the hormone therapy, the counseling, the surgical procedures, and it's really amazing the stuff that they can do to transform a person.
Yeah, we'll talk about that all. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, I just want to see. So I'm online. Where's the settings? I just want to see how I can see. Some people are not online. Oh, I see. So you can click your name on the bottom left, and you can click online. Idle comes up automatically. Do not disturb. Oh, you can be invisible too. That's stealthy. Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what's what. If you want to mute yourself, you can click your mute. You can deafen yourself. Okay, so there's all kinds of settings there. Yeah, this is interesting software. If you play games online, there's a ton of people that use this.
Oh, really?
Apparently it works well while you're playing a game. It doesn't interfere with the game.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to start. I think I'll start early for once. I'm usually always late. And I'll start talking a bit, and then I'll introduce you, and then we'll get going.
Okay, great.
And if you want to take a break, just let me know, and we can take a dewatering or a watering break.
Okay.
And then I'll be nice to you for the whole conversation. Maybe at the end I'll ask you some cutting questions.
Okay, I'm ready for you.
You're ready to rock. Okay. I'm going to, let's see here. Everything is good. So I'll put that on